Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
All right, friends. Well, hope everybody's doing well. Really excited to be joined today by a good friend, a good brother. Kieran is a very influential and very experienced church planter here in South Asia. He has worked in many different places with a lot of different people. The Lord has used him to draw people to himself, to see many leaders raised up, to see many churches planted. And so we're just blessed to have Kieran with us today. Kieran, thanks for joining us, bro.
Thank you, Brother Jesse.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
We've spent some time together the last couple of days. We've been here at a training in our city, and we actually asked Kieran to come and to bless our team and our broader network in the city with some of his insights from church planting. And so we thought we'd take advantage of the opportunity and just get some time to sit down and talk together, hear from his experience, how the Lord has worked in his life and in his ministry over the last several years. And specifically wanted to talk about, in the process of pioneer church planting, what does it look like both to transition from group to church and also to raise up leaders in that context? Every time that I'm in a meeting with Kieran, or any time I hear him speak, I'm always blessed and always challenged by what he has to say. So we're hoping that that's the same for our listeners out there. All right, so we're going to start with talking about leadership, raising up leaders specifically in that pioneer church planting context. So there are all kinds of leadership books and principles. To you, what is the most important principle to remember for raising up leaders?
First of all, I just want to praise God that God has chosen us to be his servant in his kingdom. We are so blessed and so we honor God and we worship God for that. And just want to say thank you to Brother Jesse and Sister Shaney for doing this co-worker podcast. Literally, I'm blessed when I hear their podcast. I like the one statement they always utter is that every Christian is a co-worker in God's kingdom. That has really challenged me. And we're all co-workers in God's kingdom. By keeping that in mind, I just want to answer is that we know that in God's kingdom, we all know that we need to have a leader. Mm. And as we read the scriptures, that if we don't have a leader, the work is not complete. Mm. Paul said in Titus, I left you in the crate so that you appoint elders in every churches. Mm. It means, as we know that, we finish the task, the complete mystery core task, with leaders. Mm. During my experience in COVID, I've never said the church died, but sometimes church can disappear. Mm. And I realized our six churches disappeared. Man. And as a planters, my heart was disheartened. Mm. But later on, I realized that the church would disappear because of no leaders. Mm. For the reasons like I have read several books about how to raise our new leaders. There is so many books around us, and we praise God for that books. But if we want to raise our leaders that God has asked us to raise, we need to go back to our basic things, that is scriptures. Mm. And when we started to read the scriptures, we found that what kind of leaders God is looking for today. And I always encourage people, if you want to raise a new leaders, we need to go back to the basics. And Jesus is our great teachers. By respecting the books, the principles the people of God has wrote, we have a high respect for that. But I always ask people to go back and dig out the truth and find a new leaders. And when you find a new leaders will never raise up just because you taught them a good lessons or you give them some materials. But our leaders raise up when you give him your precious time. Mm. You always talk about model assist wasn't released. But how it can we have a model if you don't walk with him? How can you assist him if you have not showed him that I'm doing this stuff? How can you reproduce leaders if you don't take them to the field? I was studying about Paul and Timothy, like during the 6 months of his ministry, second missionary journey, how these youngsters can be a dynamic leaders. I was researching, man, like 24/7, Paul was with him. And I was calculating like almost, in India, we call it 1 crore seconds of discipleship was done to Timothy. Today, like if you want to raise up our leaders, brother, the leaders ask our time. Many times we call them, we need to look at for the fatter people, faithful, available, teachable, reputable. I just want to reverse this question to ourselves. Are we faithful to dear brothers? Are you also available in his time? Are you also teachable, or our ears are willing to listen to their questions? Sometimes their question may be silly. I know as a leaders, sometimes they comes with the silly questions, but also our ears are attentive to their questions. And are we also reputable to them? Many times we look at the biblical principles and we say that, I want these things in my leaders. But we forget these things, that quality that we have or not. When we talk about 1 Timothy 3, Titus, we talk so much about the principles of the leaders. But I just want to ask questions to myself today, that all the qualities that I have today in my leadership, I will say no. But God was so gracious to me. My leader was so gracious to me. The churches that God has planted through me has gracious to me. Still, we're struggling with some of the principles that Bible has taught us. If our new leaders are struggling, we need to show them full of grace and tell them, brother, it's okay. It's okay. Because Jesus said it's okay to us. And it's time for the leaders like you and me to say, brother, it's okay. Right. That's how our new leaders can rise in the church, and they will love the work that has God blessed them.
Well, again, I think just every time, I feel like that's a theme whenever I hear from you, is examining ourselves first as leaders. You know, you talked about the fatter filter that we talk about a lot as we're talking about multiplying leaders, raising up new leaders. When we're looking for somebody to invest in, we look for people who are faithful, available, teachable, reproducing. But for us to think about ourselves first, right? Just to the point that you raise, are we being faithful to them?
Yes.
Right? Are we making ourselves available to them? I find that in leadership, it's easy to take the out of, man, I'm so busy, there's all these other things, and you sort of like parcel up your time and try to give a little bit to each leader. But to ask that question of ourselves first, are we being faithful to the people that we're investing in?
That's
such a good challenge. You mentioned it, that in the midst of your comments, you mentioned how you were led, how it was modeled for you, your leader. So it's a precious brother that we both know very well, who poured into you as well in the early stages of your ministry. So talk about how that set the example for you, how you were mentored in those first days of leadership.
When God has blessed us this vision of church planting, I always have a question. Can God do such work in our time? And when we receive this training, we receive these trainings with gratitude in our heart. And we receive it and we said, let's try it. There are so many brothers and sisters in my life who had given their life for my life. Today, what I am today is because of God and because of the people of God. First, I want to say that the one man who shared the gospels with me, like I am from a Buddhist background, he is the one who came to my village and share Christ with us. And I believe that gospel has changed my life, and it can change anyone's life. I really praise God, and every day when I came to minister, I started praying for that man who shared the gospel with me. That has changed my life. Then he has planted the seed, then another Apollos need to come to water that plant. And I always take the name is Mr. Lipok, who is also a church planter. He discipled me, but today he called me as his co-workers or a colleague or a peers. I think this is the blessings that I receive from him always. And when I, as a young man, when I was in my 20s, I was in the border of Burma, a place in the state of one of the state of India. That time we received this training and we applied to one people group called Chakma. And by God's grace, God was so faithful to us. There was no single believers or a church in that community. For that reason, we didn't get any oppositions from the light, who people are walking in the light. And they didn't say to us, oh, new believers are baptizing new believers, why you're worshiping in the home. There was no oppositions, because that people group was a fresh people group. And there we have seen all the principle of Jesus that we have taught in the CPM. Luke 10, 2x2, new believers testimony are the biggest vitals, tools for evangelism. And we have seen that. As a young man, I have also stumbled many ways. Sometimes I share the gospels. Maybe I have not shared the complete gospels, but God was faithful in my incompleteness. And later on, when I was growing up, there is a missionary called Mr. Jared. I always tell that family is a blessing or a manna from heaven for my family. They have played a very, very big roles in my life to push me, and they helped me to become a better man and a godly man in my life. Sometimes I used to talk to Jared and I tell him, like, bro, like, if something happened to my family and I need to leave these nations and I'm kicked out from these nations, if I need to go and settle in the US because of some persecutions, which I don't want, but if it happens, I'll take my surname Hawk. Wow. That much I loved him, and he has played a vital role. And these brothers has always been my brother, like, who has uplifted me when I fell down. I became discouraged many times, but there was someone who come and said, brother, it's okay. It's okay. Come, let's do it again. Many times we become discouraged and we don't make any appointment to see these families at all. Sometimes even I don't inform them. I fly and said, I'm here to talk to you. And they have always opened the door for me, and they have modeled me. And today I realized, because they have imitated Christ, and I love to imitate them as well today.
Yeah.
And these are the brothers. I always thank God for them, and I always call them, they are the manna from heaven for my family.
Praise God, man. I think that that's another theme that I hear from you consistently, is just how you talk about, I mean, it's all about relationship.
Yes.
When we talk about leadership, you just, every time, that's the theme that you always are teaching on and encouraging other people in, is that connection, that relationship with people. You know, sometimes I think, as we're thinking about church planting and particularly pursuing movements, we can fall into, let's focus on the strategy or let's focus on the method. You're always just a clear voice, I feel like, to bring us back to the importance of relationship. Because that's how it was done for you. These guys poured their lives into you. And that's how I see you doing that as well, into the lives of your disciples. And so that is just such a vital truth for us, that we would be available to people, that we're there for people in their need, that we're there to lift people up and encourage people. It's maybe not a part of our like training package that we, you know, get calls in the middle of the night when people just need encouragement or their family needs help. But that's such a key part of us sharing our lives with people, right?
Yes.
So how do you, as you're thinking about maybe you're in a new field or seeing some new work start, and you're looking for, you see that there's a need for new leaders, how do you choose who are the people that you're going to invest in, that you are going to make yourself available to? How do you make that decision?
Many times our thoughts are not God's thought. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Many times, sometimes I felt that, oh, this brother is very active. I think he needs to be the leader of this church. And I started to invest on him. And later on, you will hear the news, oh, brother, I'm flying to Malaysia for work. And he called me from the airport. And that time, we'll just put our hands, oh, I invested this many months with him. And now he's not here. But later on, the God has taught me in a very tough way. I said, if a leader need to be selected in a church, in a new fresh church, we need to give the authority to the priesthood of believers and ask among you, whom you choose as the leaders in your group. And when I start to say that, for example, me and one of my young brother, his name is Manoj Lama, he was in his 20s and I was in my late 30s. This brother has left his job in South Korea and he wants to start God's work in Nepal. And he was a very faithful brother, good, talented brother. Everybody said he's a very good. Then, because he have not started a church, that means somebody need to help him. And both of us, we went and shared the gospels. And like after maybe 2 months, like five people said yes to Lord, and three old believers joined with us because they were old people. They cannot travel to another church. Because they were our believers from different churches. They said, we want to join here because it is close to us. And we said, yes. Then we are looking for a place for our church. And we don't have a place and we don't want to start a church with renting a hall first. Then when I was going and I saw one restaurant was playing a Christian music, then both of us will enter. There is a Zumba. And that was a Christian Zumba. And we asked him, can you allow us to worship God 1.5 hours? And that guy said, I am a Christian, but never been to a church for long, long, long time. And I said, see, church comes to your house then today. God loves you so much. Then he laughed and he said, okay. Then we did a Zumba, we started a church in a Zumba class. And it was very funny. Zumba has glasses everywhere. When we preach, that was the first time we can see your expressions in the mirror. And it was funny. Like when we're singing, like we can see your face because this hall was all covered
all
by
mirrors.
Glass mirrors.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And we had a very good time together, knowing our face expression as well. And slowly, slowly, the gods enlarged that church, and it went to 2030. Then I realized that we worship the Lord in Nepal on Saturday. For that reason, we have a 4 Saturday or 5 Saturday in a month. For that reason, like first we used to go in all 5 Saturday with him. And then I reduce 1 Saturday. At 3 Saturday, I'll go with him. 1 Saturday, I'll go to different church. And slowly I started to 2 Saturday, 2 Saturday. Then one Saturday, then 3 Saturday, he will lead the church. Then after, in 2 months, I started to go once in that church. Then it was going on. Then one day, I asked the body of Christ, we need a pastor. Look at, here is 2 brothers, it's Kiran and Manoj. Do you want a pastor like Kiran who can only come to a church in 2 months once? Or you want someone, brother, who is laboring day and night for you guys? If you are sick, he comes to pray. He's doing all the hard work. Today you have a choice. Then without doubt, the body of believers, they pointed to Manoj, because they know that kind of pastors they need. And I said, you are the one who pointed our new leaders in this church. Shall we all rise up and come and embrace him or lay our hands on him and said, Lord, in the midst of the church and in the name of Jesus, today we receive Brother Manoj as our pastors for our church. And he confessed with our mouth, he is our leader. They did that. At the end, I said, only I prayed in this way. Lord, I honor what they have prayed. In Christ's name, I prayed. Amen. I said that. Today, after 6 months, maybe I went to the church because they invited me to preach. And in the church, 40% of the congregations are all above 60.
Wow.
And 60% are just a young teenager college students. Mm. Still, I have that joy. Whenever I share the story, even the tears may come up from my eyes. The 60 years old people were saying, daddy to that 20 years old boy.
Mm. Wow.
And that day, I realized how much this young pastor has invested his life to these congregations. 60 years old, above 60 years, all are saying, bua to him. That means dad to him.
Mm.
Then I look at that brother and I said, brother, can you teach me how you lead this church?
Wow.
These people are saying to your daddy, even though you are single, you are not married, you are only in the first stage of your 20. That day I realized it's not me. God select the leaders for the church, and we need to give an authority, the autonomous authority to the body of Christ. When they accept them as a leader,
mm-hmm.
then they will never come to you with the complaints of a pastor. And I said, this is the how we need a set of leader in the church.
Wow, man. What a great story, brother. I think it just illustrates what you've been talking about of investing your time. I can't think of a closer example to what Paul did, right? When Paul went into a place, he was a part of the planting of the church. And he was even shepherding that church in its initial stages. And then there was somebody that was raised up alongside of him that they passed that on to. I mean, that is the Pauline pattern from the scriptures. You walking alongside this brother and coming to the point where even the congregation recognizes that he is the one, and how you just continue to withdraw your own presence in order to pass on that responsibility to him and him taking it for himself.
I will tell him a story with this. In the first Christmas, there were 2 leaders, but many of the congregations only blessed me the present, Christmas present, because I was a senior.
Hmm.
And after 2 years, they invited me to speak in their Christmas. I went. You know what? I didn't give a single present. All the present was given to our pastors. They told me like that. Oh, we were not aware that Brother Kiran was coming, but we brought the gift only to our pastors. When they used it to our pastors, that was the greatest blessing for that Christmas.
Wow. Wow. Praise God, man. When they're taking that for themselves and saying, this is our pastor,
yes.
Right? And speaking to this other brother that has been raised up.
Yes.
Praise God. Let's talk about maybe some mistakes or failures that you see, or just shortcomings that you see it as other people that you've witnessed, or maybe even speaking from your own ministry, ways that we sometimes fail in trying to raise up leaders. What are some of the common mistakes you see people run into?
I always believe, Brother Jesse, in second chance.
Mm.
I think we need to give more than second chance. If Christ only gave us a second chance, I think he will not be a leader. I'm not be a leader. Forget about the leadership.
That's right.
We will not be saved. During our leadership, we have failed several times. But he has not judged us in what way he need to be judged. But he always uplift us with his gracious hand. Many times when a leader do a small mistakes or he may fail, maybe he's serving the Lord very faithfully, but sometimes he is not doing good with his family. You know why? I am from that background. The family value was not there. Mm. They think that, oh, you can treat your wife as you want. From that kind of background I came from. And when I started to read the word, now I know the value of family. Family is a blessing of the Lord. Many times we left the leaders very soon. I've realized to bring one man to understand fully about church planting movements, I've realized that we need to invest at least 1 to 2 years with him. A male disciple need to invest it 3 to 6 months. You know, bro, like in a month, we need to give him 60 hours. Discipleship doesn't mean that you have need to have a curriculum and go teach them. No, you can go and talk to them. Oh, I read one scripture passage. I'll give you an example. There is a Tibetan group. They laugh at me because they always tell me like, Kiran, you became a Christian because you have, people are paying lots of money to you. I asked her, who gave you this hidden story to you? And I told her, you know, when I accepted Jesus, they gave me, man, lots of money. Again, when I baptized, another loss of money. Now, lots of money to me. And they said, how much? I said, I cannot count. They said, don't tell lie. And I asked them, I told them that, you know the truth. Nobody gave us money. We follow Christ because he loved us first. The often mistakes we do with our leaders is that we try to do our models. We do our model things only that what we do. The one thing I realize is that many people are created in his image for his glory, but in different way. Mm. For example, I cannot play any instrument or I cannot sing a song, but I can make a noise for his glory. Then when the youngster came in a CPM, they were talented in music and in the singing. I asked them, you need to sharpen your tools. In other words, you need to sharpen your gifts that God has blessed you and use it for CPM. I didn't tell them to stop singing, but I told them, you need to sharpen these tools that God has blessed you. Then he's used that talent for CPM. We need to understand one thing as a leader is that there is one saying in English. I don't know. You'll get it or not, but let me say. If a servant order another servant, always problem. You need to understand, I need to understand one thing is that we're all servants. We're not here to call or to order someone. We are called to wash the feet of the people.
Yeah.
And we need to ask them, if God is using them in that way, let's support his vision in that way. But I always tell people that you need to know how to distinguish between the good and the best. It is easy to distinguish bad and good. But it is one of the hardest things that I have faced in my life is that how to distinguish good and best.
Yeah.
Many times I became yes to the people. Oh, maybe that brother will hurt if I say no to him. Mm-hmm. I have so many work to do, but after that I become so much exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started, brother, no. If you want this, I can be available in that day. For the reasons like what I want to encourage is that let's help our disciples in what way that God has want to use them. And we'll ask them. And I always tell people, yesterday one of brother was asking, brother, help me how to figure out the best. I said, Kiran is not the solution.
Mm.
I said, your solution is in the Bible and through the Holy Spirit, the counselor that God has blessed us will help you to find out the best.
Yeah.
But to find out the best, he asked me, how you found the best? That was a good question that he asked me at 11 p.m. yesterday by one of my brothers. And I asked them, where I get joy doing the things.
Wow.
When my world became a worship for me, that is the best things that God has called me to do.
Wow. Wow. Praise God, man. What a good word. When you're distinguishing between good and best, how do you determine what is the best thing for you? It's when you find joy in doing it. And just appreciate so much. I think, again, sometimes in our world, we try to push, maybe put people in a box of like, hey, you have to follow this path. You have to kind of be this type of person in order to pursue movements. But just to free people up to say, What has God blessed you with? Pursue that. What is best for you is the thing that gives you joy. Such a good word, bro. So a lot of the work that you're doing, a lot of the leaders that you're raising up, you know, you're working among people that are near culture to you, right? People that you've grown up around, you guys share a heart language in many cases, although you speak, you know, several languages. So you're able to do that among several different communities. From my perspective, as somebody coming in from the outside, a cross-cultural worker, what are some of the best ways? I know a lot of these principles, the same principles are going to apply, but maybe speak specifically to people like me. You mentioned a brother that had poured a lot into you, Jared, who's come from the outside. What would you say to people who are sitting in my seat, who are praying for, man, how can I find national brothers to walk alongside like this? What do I need to be thinking about? What do I need to be doing? What would you say to us?
Brother Jesse, let me disagree with respect with you.
Yeah.
I believe in kingdom work. There is no outsider or insider. There is only faithful and unfaithful people in kingdom. But many times we call it cross culture. This cross culture was created by our sin. If sin has not entered this world, we should have one tongue. Maybe we'll enjoy it together. That's best organic food from the Garden of Eden. These cross cultures came because of our sin. And I always call, we come as a body of Christ. For example, like when God has called you from different part of the nations to call to the different country with different cultures, maybe we may not understand anything about them. No, I know, like you have gone through many experiences like that. Like, oh, that is very, very new to our culture. But for them, that was a common. For example, they can do anything in front of the people and which is not right in their culture. When I look at Paul's life also, when Paul was in his mission journey, Paul has presented the wonderful message, gospels, and people are running. Maybe Paul and Barnabas thought, oh, they are so moved. But after, sometimes they came to know, they are calling us God. Then they realized, maybe they put their hands on their head and said, oh, they misunderstood the presentations. They need to run in the midst of the group, and they need to tear their clothes and said, no, brother, no. We are sinners like you. But sometimes Paul also faced these kind of problems. But as a missionary, when you come from, the first thing I love, I always tell people is that you need to think that city or that people group is my people group. Jesus died because he thinks this is my people. You need to come to feel with understanding that my people. Many missionaries had failed. According to me, I may be 100% wrong. You don't need to agree with me. But many people failed because they have not think this city is my city. These peoples are my people. Lord, whatever they do, Lord, whatever they do, Lord, I will die for these people. There is one missionary, I heard this story. I think you know his name. His name is something Livingstone or something. He was a missionary to South Africa. Like when I was reading one article, simple articles, maybe a one-page article, he said to the people of his working place peoples, if I die, definitely my country will take my dead body. But before they take my dead body, you need to operate it and take out my heart and bury it here. And only send them my body without heart. Today, Brother Jesse, I'm asking a question to you and myself as well. Are you really want to bury your heart for this city or this for people? I always tell people, if God has sent you to India, even though you don't like the food or you don't like the timing of food, God not did a mistake to send you in these nations. God knows. Maybe you don't like, but eventually, you will fall in love with the spicy food of India, the oily food of India.
Amen, bro.
And you love the cities and you said, Lord, if you want me to die here, I will die.
Yeah.
First, love, start to love the people. That is the greatest investment in ministry.
Bro, that is a word we need to hear over and over again. I just feel like that, like you often do, you just cut right to the heart of it. You know, we can talk about all these different things that we needed to do or strategies we need to follow, but that's what it comes down to, right? Do we say, this is my people? Do we say like Paul, like, I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off for the sake of my own kinsmen, my kinsmen according to the flesh? That's right where it's at, bro.
When I read that passage, brother, like Paul said, I am willing to take out the name from the book of life That means, in other words, he's saying, I want to go to hell if you want to send these people.
Mm.
That means he knows how hell it will be. What else he said? I will suffer eternity if you want to save all my brothers.
That's right.
I think that is a deeper love, bro.
That's it. Yeah.
That is, I think, more than the word love.
Mm.
That is, he's directly talking about sacrificial love.
Yeah.
And that has changed my life. That passage has changed my life.
No doubt. No doubt, bro. Well, may it be so. May that type of love just spread all throughout, you know, whether we're people coming from another country, people being here, as we grow in our faithfulness, may that be the love that just continues to grow in our own hearts and draws us to our places.
Regarding Jared, like how he helped me and how he helped me to walk with him is that many times we don't walk together. We have our own ministries, but we come as a brother, and he is a part of my life now. And like, when you invest so much, bro, like many times people ask me, like, Kiran, when you need to leave a leader, when you need to entrust? And I always tell people, brother, that is in the hand of the Lord. I don't know when. I don't have a time frame. I tell people, Christ died for the 12. In entire life, he was only with the 12.
Mm.
He walked with them. Like, maybe when Jesus and his disciples was watching, they want to have a private time, the crowd came and started to stare at them. That Jesus said the parable to them. Maybe that parable was for his disciples. I think. And in the beginning, the disciples scratched their head and said, we didn't understand the parable. And Jesus only explained to the disciples.
Mm.
Maybe that parable was in the evening sermon for Jesus.
Yeah.
But because of the crowd, he needed to preach another sermon. Sometimes I felt like that. I may be wrong.
Yeah.
But in the evening, he gave his life for the 12.
Mm.
Brother, this is sometimes we are called to give our life for 3 or 4 people.
Mm.
And they are our eternal disciples.
Yeah.
You want to entrust them, but you cannot leave them. You will be always with them. Like Lipok and myself.
Mm.
We want to go to, we are serving the Lord in different directions, but we always come together.
Mm.
See, today in this meeting also we are together.
That's right.
And he said, Kiran, you are going that side. Can I come? See, I have never invited, but somehow or other way we will come together. Some relations will be like that.
Yeah.
And we need to respect that leadership. Sometimes God takes away, you think that I will give my life to this brother, but sometimes he come out from a network and he start another network and he join a bigger ministry.
Mm.
I had a heart attack once when the top guys left and he started join the big, big ministry. Well paid, better than us. And I said, Lord, maybe I felt somewhere that they are not doing CPM. But today I want to worship God and praise God. They are doing the same multiplications and they have changed that organizations and they are doing CPM multiplications.
Yeah.
I said that day, today I fasted and said, sorry, Lord. That time maybe I asked a question to you, Lord, why? I have given my 6 years to them, but now they are not with me. God reminded me, even though they go, one day he will draw back everything to you. Today we are serving in different ministries, so different names. That name is only on this earth.
Mm.
That name will never come to heaven.
Yeah.
That times in heaven, there is with no ministry names, no company names. We will be known as a brother and sisters or children of God.
Yeah.
Today we are serving together again. But that brother has shifted the things differently. Many people said, Jesus, in India, there is one saying like, Jesus made things ulta-pulta, but I say different ways. Jesus did not did ulta-pulta. Jesus put the right things on the top.
Mm.
And this brother has didn't make ulta-pulta or ups and down the ministry, but these brothers went to that ministry and joined, and they put the right things on the top.
Wow.
And they are doing. I am so proud of to my brothers, and I'll praise God.
Yeah.
And I'm asking still forgiveness from the Lord that time I was very sad and I was disheartened. I packed my suitcase and said, I need to go back.
Mm.
But today I look at myself and I said, how selfish I was. How I have not understood kingdom's work. Today I look at them and I said, Lord, so sorry. You didn't judge me. But you say, I'm showing you grace. One day you'll understand the joy of this.
Yeah.
But that time I was so sad, so disheartened, man. Even I cried. My wife looked at me and said, my wife used to say, it's okay, honey, it's okay, honey. But that was not okay, honey, for me. I used to say, you don't know how much I get them. My wife said, as a wife, I know. But also I used to tell her, you don't know.
Yeah.
But today, like when we come as a brother, They told me, brother, when you enter into your house, we'll throw all our organization head. And you come as a brother who is purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. And we will not talk about organizations, but we talk about the goodness of kingdom work.
Praise Amen. God. Praise God, man. Sometimes what feels like really painful division, God is turning into multiplication, right?
Yes.
And I just want to emphasize what you said about, we joke here about ulta pulta. That's like a common phrase around here for turning things upside down, that's what the kingdom work is like. But I love how you spoke about that. You put the right things on top. I think that's what we're always trying to do, right? Is emphasize the right things, take the right things and put them on top. So whether that's in our team, in our organization, focusing on the right things, making them the highest priority, that's such a valuable thing to pursue. Man, praise God.